Good evening, everyone. What a great blessing to be able to gather together again tonight to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through our worship here together. I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving break. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for as God's people. My Bible is open to Proverbs chapter 13, and I'd like to invite you to turn there as we begin this evening's lesson. Proverbs 13, going to be beginning in verse 14. Proverbs 13, verse 14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death." On February 4th, 2004, some students from Harvard University launched a small application from their dorm room that they called the Facebook. Now, initially, it was only available to Harvard students so that they could keep up with their classmates, but eventually it expanded to include all colleges across the nation. And now, 15 years later, it's available to everyone. And there are 2.4 billion users. And now other social media sites have launched with similar success. Instagram has over 1 billion users. Twitter has over 320 million users. Snapchat has over 186 million users. And we get it. I mean, we love it, right? Wonderful things are to be experienced through social media. It allows us to keep in touch with family and friends that we rarely see or talk to. With social media, I can get up-to-date news from around the world a lot of times quicker than turning on the TV. I can be encouraged spiritually by someone's insightful spiritual commentary or a recent baptism, and I can even make requests for prayer. Social media is a place that we can go to laugh at silly memes or quips or videos, and we can pay that forward by sharing it with others who can likewise laugh with us. And so social media is absolutely a place where great joy can be found and where the distance that used to separate so many of us no longer seems so far. But there's a darker side to it, isn't there? Social media has brought out an ugliness in our country that is unlike anything I have ever experienced in my lifetime. Disagreements on social media turn divisive very quickly. Opposing sides of the political spectrum denigrate one another. What used to be playful poking of another person's favorite football team turns vicious on social media. Alabama hates Auburn. Auburn hates Alabama. Who hates LSU? Who hates Texas A&M? Who hates Texas? Who hates Oklahoma? Everybody hates Notre Dame. The truth is, with all the positive things that come out of social media, it has proven to be an incredibly difficult platform for Christians to engage in while staying true to our calling. Because even religious discussions on social media can turn just as ugly as those discussions between rival political parties. Satan, he is just so adept at taking platforms in which joy can be found and then subtly introducing temptation that is designed to ensnare us. And there are huge risks involved with immersing ourselves in the world of social media, and we Christians need to understand what these risks are so that we can be wise and avoid some of those snares that can so easily entrap us. Parents need to know the risks that they're placing their young children in when they're given unmonitored access to social media sites. So let's talk about this tonight. And we're going to talk about it next Sunday morning as well, because social media accounts are rising. They're not falling. I do want to say up front that this has been a very humbling lesson for me to study and prepare for. I have been guilty of many of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. So this is something that we all need. We all need it. We need to think about it. Try to help one another spackle up some of the breaches in our armor that Satan loves to exploit. First of all, I'd invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's begin by discussing the validation snare. My interaction on social media can become a snare when I use it as an outlet to seek unhealthy validation from others of the same platform. Now, as human beings, it's natural to seek some form of validation that is indicative of our personal growth, right? But as social media has come along and it's increased in hype, it has introduced temptations that have unfortunately blurred the distinction between validation that is healthy and that which is counterproductive spiritually. Let's take the selfie, for example. Look at her go, right? Think about the underlying reason for why I might take several personal pictures of myself where I'm the center, pick what I believe to be the best of the lot, and then post it on social media for everyone else to see. Now listen, I'm not talking about a standard picture. I'm not even talking about a standard picture of ourselves. I'm talking about a selfie. We know the difference. Why am I posting this on social media? What is my expectation? Am I not hoping for validation, at least on some level, through the flattering comments or the likes or the shares? And you know, even as I do this, I'm aware of this. Even as I post a selfie, I'm aware of the fact that I need this validation. I want this. I need the likes. I need the comments. I know self-consciously that I'm seeking validation on social media. And then, of course, the likes start adding up. A few positive, complimentary comments here and there, and it creates this sense of self-satisfaction. I want people to acknowledge and appreciate my presence on social media and what I can offer there, and I want them to follow me. Think about it this way. Would I even post those selfies if no one could like them? Would I even post them? If social media was simply a one-sided posting in which no one could ever like or ever comment, and I could never know who even saw my posts, would I even waste my time? I think we know the answer. It's validation that we're seeking, and once I start getting it, I've got to post more because I've got to get more of those likes, more of those comments in order to feed the addiction. And that's where we can get ourselves caught in a snare if we're not careful. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Here's the danger. My thirst for validation on social media, if I'm not careful, it may distort my reality. I may start to care more about what people think of my pictures and my posts than I care about what God thinks. This doesn't mean that every time I post a picture that I'm seeking validation. That's not what it means. No, we just need to be honest with ourselves and ask, why am I posting it? Does it add any sort of value to someone else's life? Does it inspire? Does it encourage? Does it empower others? Or am I simply posting this to seek attention? Has this just become about me? Because if that is what social media has become for me, it might be beneficial, spiritually speaking, to step back and sign off for a bit and recalibrate my sense of self-worth around what God thinks about me. Notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 about this. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. In other words, ask the question, why am I doing this? He said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, for it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. See, if we don't nip this thirst for validation early, it will cause us to form a very disproportionate view about ourselves. Because social media, it really does create a false utopia, does it not? It presents a life that is a mirage. Do you remember the Truman Show from years ago? The guy that Jim Carrey plays who realizes after decades that his whole life was a sham. Many people on social media are living in their own private version of the Truman Show. But unlike this show, we are the ones that are creating these fictitious realities for ourselves. We're becoming curators of our lives. Curating specific moments that are the best of the best with no context whatsoever. Because we've got to get the validation. We've got to get the likes. And so we begin trying so hard to live the life that we're presenting on social media that the more our feelings of uncertainty arise, the more positivity that we try to post in order to suppress it. And that's where we can get entrapped, brethren. That's where the snare can occur. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says this, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you?" Or maybe what we could do today is say, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some, likes and comments from you?" Because to keep the lie going, you've got to feed the lie. If you don't, you won't get the likes, the shares, the comments, and all that validation that you're seeking. It'll fall flat. And then what are we left with? And that's the snare. That's what we've got to be careful about. It's a terrible snare. If I find myself posting to Facebook because I'm seeking validation from others, that's going to rob us of the real world. And it sets us up not to view God as the only true source of our self-worth. Listen, I fault this, all right? I'm not up here trying to be judgmental or self-righteous, right? I fault this. Most of you guys are friends with me on Facebook, right? I'm Ryan the funny guy, right? Look at Ryan go. There's another meme, right? There's Ryan trying to be funny again. Look at Ryan the funny guy out there, right? I can make fun of myself. Just because I stand behind this block of wood and preach once a week doesn't mean I'm not as messed up as everybody else. I understand it. I really do. I can make fun of myself. All I'm suggesting is what can begin as an innocent motive to bring joy, to bring laughter, or to celebrate something, it can turn into a notion that I've got to continue to feed the lie to reap the validation. And brethren, if we're caught in that snare, that is a shallow, vain life to live, to base my sense of self-worth primarily on the few clicks of a button on a plastic keyboard. Now, look in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Because whenever we get caught in the validation snare, there are going to be ripple effects, and one of those ripple effects is bragging. You know, in real life, when we invite friends over to our home, we don't start off by showing them all the awards and achievements that we've won for this or that, do we? We don't feel when somebody comes to our house that we need to share every compliment and every material blessing that we've seen received from every single person that walks through our front door. Before social media, acts of service, conferences, and vacations, they weren't photo ops. And before social media, I happened to be the only person that knew what I was eating for dinner. But you know what? If after church tonight, there was somebody standing back there in that foyer holding up a big white sign that said, "I just ran a half marathon today, and I'm so sore," we would think that was weird. We'd be like, that's kind of awkward. That's kind of weird that somebody would see the need to try to draw that much attention to themselves. But somehow bragging got its wings on social media, hasn't it? And it stoked this urge within us to promote ourselves so that we can be seen and so that we can be praised. It's a digital deception in which we allow ourselves to be carried away by our boasting, suppressing the knowledge that God is watching. And God is there. And he says this in Proverbs 27 and verse 2, "Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." Solomon isn't cautioning us from sharing good news with our family and closest of friends. I mean, that's natural. They want to know about us so that they can share in our happiness. And if I'm writing a resume, it's almost expected that I would highlight my achievements and my successes because I'm trying to show how much of an asset that I can be to a business. No, this is not about that. This is about who we share it with and why we're sharing it. That's what matters. And I would suggest it's even how we're sharing it. Because there are multiple ways that bragging occurs on social media. There's the humble brag. Now, this may be a new term for some of you, but I assure you it is a real thing. The humble brag is a way to subtly let people know how awesome your life is while you're undercutting it with a bit of self-effacing humor or putting on some of that woe-is-me gloss. I've got a few examples I want to show you, and I blacked out the person who tweeted it because I didn't want to unnecessarily shame anybody, even though none of us probably know who these people are. But this is what some actress posted on Twitter once. She said, "Why can't I look cool when I meet Tom Hanks and he hands me his Emmy? Instead, I get so excited and look like a goober." You see that woe is me gloss? You poor thing, you met Tom Hanks. I feel so sorry for you, right? Speaking of makeup, this lady said, "No makeup on, hair's not done, toothpaste stains down the front of my shirt, pretty sure I'm not wearing deodorant, still get hit on, sigh. So sorry that your worst flaw is being too good looking." And here's another one. "Whenever I wake up in the morning or randomly look, I get shocked at how big my arms are," then he put in parentheses, "triceps and biceps. I don't even lift weights, so annoying." Right? And all we did today were a few diddly squats, right? In other words, oh, pity me for how amazing I am. But see, at the end of the day, it's just bragging. And adding hashtag humbled or hashtag honored at the end of it doesn't make it any less than bragging. Then there's the spiritual brag. And this is the same thing as the humble brag, but it's with a little bit of a spiritual twist. Many times, instead of putting hashtag humbled at the end of it, you'll find a statement followed by hashtag blessed. Here's an example. "Huge promotion at work this week. Finally reached six figures. Hashtag blessed." Here's a spiritual brag with a little bit of that woe is me gloss. "Me. What's the point of being a good person if it always blows up in my face? I don't want to do this anymore. Also, me, an hour later, buys a homeless guy food at Wawa." I guess that's how you pronounce that. And if that isn't spiritual enough, throw a little bit of scripture on top. This person said, "But even if the hairs of your head are all numbered, Matthew 10:30, hashtag new haircut, hashtag hottie, hashtag single no more." Does putting a little bit of spiritual makeup on an obvious boast post make it any less boastful? No, in fact, it looks an awful lot like what the Pharisees did, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Brethren, we need to be careful about this. We need to be careful that we don't broadcast a good deed or a blessing received just so that we can receive affirmation and validation. The affirmation from our Father in heaven, that's all that we need. And then there's the social media fast, right? I mean, there seems to be this obligation for people to announce when they feel like they've been spending way too much time on Facebook, and so they announce they're going to spend a little bit of time off, and then they say you can contact them by email or text. Here's a specific one I found. This is a doozy, because this is a combination of the humble brag, the spiritual brag, and the social media fast all in one. Hour 4, "If Jesus could last 40 days in the desert, I can take up my Twitter cross, hashtag Twitter fast." Now look, I 110% believe that a social media fast is good and it's healthy for us all, but you don't have to tell the whole world about it. Just log off, deactivate your account. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 17, "But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." In other words, don't announce it, just do it. If people ask you about it, you can tell them. But you don't need to broadcast it to the whole world, because more often than not, it's just a form of bragging and extolling of our own righteousness. And then here's one, and this one really gets me. There's the covert nakedness for attention post. You know what I'm talking about here? This is when you post yourself in naked, lascivious apparel, and it's obvious to everyone who sees it that that's why you're posting it. But you try to disguise the nakedness by putting a decoy out there so that you can keep that nakedness covert. Now, I'm not going to show you any examples of this on PowerPoint for obvious reason. I'm just going to show you a few captions that I found. And you all understand what's going on here. Here's one that said, "I just love my new necklace, LOL." Right? While she's leaning over the camera, tops of her breasts completely exposed. See, she's got to make it about the necklace, right? Because if she were to be blatantly honest and post her intentions and just say, "Hey, y'all, here's a picture of my breast," people would know she's desperate. She wouldn't get any likes. No, she's got to draw attention to the decoy. People still know she's starving for attention, but then they'll give her the likes that she's so desperate for. Then there's a classic gym picture that says, y'all, look how much weight I've lost, and she's wearing tight leggings that leave little to the imagination. Or it's been years since I fit into these pants, and they're just as tight as they can be, revealing the curvatures of the body. What's happening here? What's happening is she's purposely objectifying herself while pretending not to objectify herself. And that is nothing but a big fat lie. And what makes it more mind-boggling is how willing that other people are to feed the lie by clicking that like button, which continues to encourage sin. Brethren, Jeremiah 9 and verse 23 says this. Jeremiah 9, 23. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me. Listen, we all get excited about something. We all get determined about something. We get in the moment and we want to share, but that's just it. We're just in the moment. Wisdom dictates stepping back, doing some self-examination and asking, why am I really posting this? Why did I even take a picture of this? To make myself look good? To show how many people showed up to my event? To let my friends and followers know that I'm somebody? Research has actually shown that these boast posts do nothing more than convey inauthenticity. And that's the exact opposite of what many are pining for when they put on the boast post. Again, why am I posting it? Is it truly to offer something beneficial, or am I trying to cultivate an online landscape of unabashed bragging about wealth, about success, about beauty, relationships, and family? Just because everyone else is doing this type of stuff, that doesn't mean that it's okay for me as a Christian to do it too. Jesus died for the boastful so that they would no longer boast in themselves, but boast in Him alone. All right, let's flip this thing around, and now let's look at this thing from the other guy's perspective. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at this thing from the other guy's perspective. Because while one person on social media is seeking validation, which inevitably evolves into boasting and bragging, have you ever wondered how that's affecting the person on the other end? You know what many people are doing who see these things? Those people on the other end are comparing their life, their reality, to your highlight reels. As we observe those seemingly ideal lives of our online friends, Satan will begin to tempt us to see our own life as dull in comparison. Because I never get to go to those restaurants and eat those foods. I never get to go to those tropical places. My kid never wins those kinds of awards. My marriage isn't as happy as that one looks. I wish my husband loved me like her husband loves her. Why don't we always look that happy? As a single person, boy, marriage life looks like so much more fun. And now after all that comparison that's going on, what's starting to happen? We're starting to think, man, my life stinks. And now I'm living in this funk because I bought into this lie that other people are living happier lives than I am. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. And brethren, that last statement there, they're without understanding, that's key. Because when we're caught in the comparison snare, there are things that we don't understand. There are things that we are not seeing. We didn't see that beautiful couple who looked so in love start fighting 5 minutes after they took that sunset photo. Those pictures of the family in front of the white picket fences, it doesn't show the difficulty that father has with balancing work and marriage and parenting, and the difficulty that the mother has of juggling motherhood and keeping house. The picture of the girl on Instagram with the perfect skin tone, you didn't see how long it took her using Instagram photo filters to perfect that mirage that she's displaying. Brethren, we get caught comparing. Paul says we're without understanding and we're robbing ourselves of joy. I love what Teddy Roosevelt once said. Teddy Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy.
And that's exactly right. Why can't it be enough that I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Because you know what? Christ doesn't just like me. He loves me. He loves you. And the love of Christ, it is greater than any number of likes that I could ever gather for myself on social media. Now, I tell you, to be fair, comparison is actually a fundamental part of the human experience. I mean, it's how we equate ourselves with reality, of course. I think about Genesis chapter 3. The very first thing that Adam did when he saw Eve was to write his own compare and contrast essay. He looked at her and said, "Hey, look at that. She's like me, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She's just a little bit different," right? And as Christians, we celebrate those comparative differences between male and female. We applaud them, and yes, sometimes we scratch our head over the differences. But where we get entrapped is when we can't stop comparing and aspiring to meet or even excel those curated lives that we see on social media. And we have to break that spell, because those screens are smoke screens. And like all idols, they are constructed from depraved minds, and they promise what they can't deliver. The more we convince ourselves that these virtual representations are truth, the harder we will try to meet the pressure of living in. And brethren, we can't do it. The comparison snare, though, will start to lose its momentum when we remember that it's God's opinion that matters most. And isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to know that the Lord does not view us through Instagram filters? Isn't it a blessing to know that He knows every single one of our defects? He knows our deepest darkness weaknesses, and yet He still loves us. And that no one will ever love us more than Jesus does. Brethren, our worth is far more valuable than those highlight reels on social media. Never compare your inside to someone else's filtered outsides. Because you know what starts to happen then? That's when the envy snare starts to kick in. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. See, social media is like a megaphone for envy. Because as much as we try, real life can't measure up to these filtered pictures and humble brags that saturate our news feeds. Someone once commented on how social media has led to an increase in envy. And he said about this, he said, "If you and I are Facebook friends, I probably hate your guts." And he didn't mean it all the time. He just meant during those intermittent times when you happen to post about a thing or an experience that he wants, but he can't have, but you have it. Envy isn't just wanting what someone else has for yourself. Envy is a deep-rooted resentment towards the person who has it. Their looks, their successes, their possessions, their family, their relationship status. They've got it. I want it. I can't have it. I hate them. Because I didn't know how far behind my child was until I saw that video on Instagram of someone else's child reciting his ABCs at 18 months old. I felt perfectly fine about my body until I saw a picture of one of my friends flashing his 2 tickets to the gun show. My life was full of meaning until I saw the extraordinary adventures that one of my friends were having across the world, and without me, no less, and I hate him. Nothing can turn a tiny spark of envy into a consuming flame quite like social media. And unhealthy comparisons, brethren, that's the oxygen that feeds the flame. Proverbs 14 and verse 30 says, "A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion," some of your versions say envy, "is rottenness to the bones." Envy is so profoundly woven into the experience of using social media that they've actually created a term to encapsulate the effect. It's called FOMO. Some of you have actually heard of this probably. F-O-M-O. And it means the fear of missing out. And it is an almost inevitable byproduct of witnessing other people's seemingly untouchable lives and experiences through social media. And you know what's so mind-boggling about this? Is that we know it's a problem. We know how easy it is to be envious towards someone's online persona that appears to be so untouched by the reality of mess and mediocrity. And yet we continue to carry around these envy-amplifying devices in our pocket, and we sleep with them next to our pillow so that it tempts us 24 hours a day the moment we wake up to the middle of the night. Intellectually, we know it's hurting us, but emotionally, it is still pushing our buttons when those images and posts project lives that we aspire to, and yet we don't have it, and it just intensifies this discontent within us like a sickness. Brethren, God has not created us to be carbon copies of those filtered fake standards that we see on social media. He's given us a higher purpose than these edited versions of reality. Each one of us here, every single one of us, we have unique personalities. We have unique abilities. We all have special gifts, and we all find ourselves in unique circumstances. And to deny that is to deny that God knew what he was doing when he made me. If I believe in God, then I believe that he loves me just as I am, and that he has a personal interest in me. And I love the way that David says it in Psalm 139 and verse 15. He says about God, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days and were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them." And that is the truth. That feeling of inadequacy and envy that Satan is pushing on me is the lie. So it is now up to me to use what he has given me to serve and to bless. And I can't do that by looking at another person and wishing that I was more like them. Might I suggest that if you struggle with cyber envy, try this. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. In Psalm 16 and verse 5, David says it this way, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The linens have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." In other words, don't focus on what they have. Focus on what God has given you. And if you're having trouble thinking of blessings, think harder. Because there is always something that we're taking for granted, isn't there? You know, you don't have to be in an exotic location to feel blessed. The smiles of your kids at Disney World, they look just like the smiles that they have when they're playing in their backyard. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And when I'm consumed with how God has looked out for me, I won't have time to think about the other guy. I think about John chapter 21. That story where Peter is questioning Jesus about John, and Jesus said in verse 22, in so many words, "What is that to you? You follow me." See, each of us is not meant to live life in the exact same way. And by comparing ourselves to others and being envious of the lot that has fallen us, we just waste time. Instead, focus on God's plan for you and you alone. Because there is only one man that we are commanded to compare ourselves to and aspire to, and that is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the only comparison that will bring out the best in us and not the worst. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 4 said, "I have seen that every labor and every skill which is done is the result of rivalry between a man and his neighbor. This too is vanity and striving after wind." But it's when we find our acceptance and our purpose and our self-worth in Christ, and as we sung tonight, in Christ alone, that we'll watch that cyber envy go right back to perdition where it belongs. And finally, let me give you one more, and then the lesson is yours. I would suggest that we could avoid it all. We could avoid it all. The validation snare, the bragging snare, the comparison snare, the envy snare, the whole lot of it. If we would simply commit ourselves to not wasting so much time surfing those wicked waves of social media. According to Global Web Index, internet users in 2018 spent an average of 2 hours and 24 minutes a day on social media. This is an increase of 62.5% since 2012, and they are projecting for 2019 a 9-minute increase in the average. Those between 16 and 24 are spending 3 hours a day on average on social media. If you assume a human lifespan of 72 years, and also assume that people start using social media around 10 years of age, it's projected that the average person before they die will spend a total of 3,462,390 minutes on social media in their lifetime. You know what that equates to? 6 years and 8 months of total time on social media for a person's lifetime. And that's based on current trends. Weapon of mass distraction, isn't it? 6 years? We're wasting 6 years of our entire life on this thing? Psalm 90, verse 12 said, "Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." As believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to prioritize our time, to be sensitive to the limited period that we have on this planet to shine our lights. And without question, social media can encroach on those more needful things and keep us from being the positive forces in this world that every single one of us have been redeemed for. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 15, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." See, Satan has other weapons besides the lust of the flesh that come as a result of social media. If he can merely keep us distracted so that we waste our time on vanities, it's that much less time we have to propagate the gospel. It's less time that we have to serve one another. It's less time that we have to study our Bibles. Less time to pray. Less time to grow as Christians. Social media, when used improperly, doesn't just instill bad qualities, but it is fully capable of robbing us of the good qualities that take time to develop, because it robs us of that time to do so. And brethren, if we're spending more time on social media than we are in prayer or in Bible study, in worship or in service, we're in for a world of hurt. It's so important. Why? Because Proverbs 21:21 says that he who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. And if I'm finding that social media is instead causing me to follow after my lusts, or it's puffing me up, or it's causing me to create discord in others because of what they're seeing me post, perhaps what I need to do is disconnect in order to reconnect with those things that matter most. And what matters more than any social media site I may be on is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we need to be dedicating the majority of our time to. And if you have not done that tonight because you are not a Christian, and we would encourage you by way of invitation to make your life right now. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that he is Lord, we would love to baptize you this evening for the forgiveness of your sins. And likewise, if you are here and you're a Christian and perhaps you've been overtaken by some of these vices that we've talked about tonight or something else, and perhaps the weight of sin is too heavy for you to carry, we would love to help lift your hands, help you in any way we can, pray for you. Just let us know. Just come forward while we stand, while we sing this invitation song.